Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent Associate Representative Mark Hargrove. Thrivent is a financial services company helping individuals and families manage their money and plan for the future. More at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Friday, April 25th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel.
With the eighth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Teteroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona.
That's NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. McMillan, who was something of a surprise choice for the Panthers, already has a connection with Panthers quarterback Bryce Young. The two trained together at a football camp last year and also played against one another at rival high schools in California. McMillan, who was born in Hawaii, acknowledged his ancestry after last night's announcement.
Everything I do is not only to glorify him, the man above, but, you know, to put on for my Polynesian people. So shout out to all my Polys, man. We did it.
The draft continues tonight. The Panthers have the 57th overall pick. The federal government is cutting over $2.8 million in funding for a national group that supports victims of crime. As Elvis Meneyese reports, the cuts will impact victims in need of support in Charlotte.
The National Center for Victims of Crime received an email on Tuesday from the Department of Justice Office of Justice Programs titled Notice of Termination. The cuts will impact three of the nonprofit's programs. It will result in the termination of the group's free hotline for crime victims. The hotline supports about 16,000 callers every year, including people in Charlotte. Renee Williams is the group's CEO.
We offer services like filling out victim compensation forms and assistance with other victims' rights forms to individuals to be filing those with the government. We help explain those forms to individuals. So anything that is considered a supportive service, even if it's just emotional support, that's what we do, and that is what is going away.
The DOJ said the funds are being terminated because they no longer align with the department's priorities. The center also told three sites establishing peer support programs in Raleigh and Columbia that their funding has ended. The National Center for Victims of Crime has over 40 staff members, some of whom have been notified that they will be laid off.
We're a very close-knit staff, and in victim services, many people have been victims themselves, so this is absolute devastation.
Williams says the group is seeking other funds to keep their programs running. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden says U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents arrested a man Wednesday outside the Mecklenburg County Courthouse. Julian Berger has more on how McFadden, whose agency oversees the courthouse, is reacting.
Carolina Migrant Network was the first to report ICE agents were at the Mecklenburg County Courthouse in Uptown. The organization's social media post included a picture of a white, unmarked van around 11 a.m., McFadden says he was contacted around noon and headed to the courthouse and saw the arrest take place. He spoke with agents, who he said weren't clearly identified as law enforcement, about clear communication between the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office and ICE. In a statement, McFadden said communication is important for the safety of undocumented people, courthouse staff, guests, and ICE agents. He continued to say the sheriff's office respects ICE's duties, but wants transparency and communication between the two agencies. McFadden says he is creating formal guidelines for any future ICE arrests at the courthouse, where people come for hearings and legal proceedings not related to immigration. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
International college students are being advised by their schools to be mindful of summer travel due to the stricter enforcement of immigration laws and more students being detained or even deported. With summer break just weeks away, Kenneth Lee has more about local impacts.
UNC Charlotte's International Student and Scholar Office issued a notice to students saying that students and employees from overseas should constantly monitor federal guidance with things like visa policies and travel restrictions. The school's website notes that before students leave or re-enter the United States, they should have a valid passport, visa, I-20, or DS-2019 form with a recent travel signature. Officials also said students should have their most recent I-94 and financial documents. The school warned students to pay attention to their social media accounts, which agents can search at the border, and said, quote, immigration policies are rapidly changing, which might affect your ability to re-enter the United States. Other universities across the state have issued similar warnings. Duke University went a step further and advised its international students not to leave the country in case they're not allowed back in. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The CEO of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library has resigned. In making the announcement yesterday, the library said Marcellus Turner is stepping down for family reasons. His last day will be May 2nd. The library's chief financial and administrative officer, Angela Myers, will take over as CEO in the interim. Cabarrus County has been awarded a $3.3 million contract by the North Carolina Department of Transportation to improve over 11 miles of secondary roads in the county. The project will include improvements to Kannapolis Parkway and Miami Church Road. J.T. Russell and Sons will lead the project. Crews will complete milling, resurfacing, and shoulder reconstruction. NCDOT says work can begin as early as this week. The project is scheduled to be completed sometime in 2026. Tariffs imposed by the Trump administration have created uncertainty around grocery prices, especially for products imported from Latin America. Julian Berger spoke with some Charlotte-based Latino grocery distributors and stores that are already seeing some early effects.
It's a busy morning at El Ideal's warehouse in Monroe. The distribution company specializes in foods from Latin America. El Ideal's Emelise Landestoy says she's been worried since President Trump's announcements of tariffs on goods imported from outside the United States.
I'm not going to know what to do and who is going to assume the price raise. You know what I mean? If we raise our prices, are they going to buy the product? Are the stores going to put their prices a little in a higher level?
Tariffs are at 10% for goods from most countries. President Trump announced a reduced rate earlier this month. The rate is temporary, though.
Even though this is that it's a pause for 90 days, some of our suppliers don't see the pause. They're already implementing the 10% of just to cover whatever is coming.
Walking through the warehouse, Landestoy pointed out gaps on the shelves.
As you can see right here, you can see how it's affecting us because there's some products we don't have because the price point is already a mess.
Their warehouse was running low on some items like coconut water, which is imported from Vietnam and faces a tariff rate of 46%.
We like to pride ourselves in having a price range that our community can afford. We want to be affordable, but I feel like this is causing our products to become a novelty instead of something that is accessible for everyone.
Landestoy says El Ideal has struggled as its profit margins are squeezed on both ends. It is paying more to import goods, while grocers are hesitant to pay higher prices. But further down the supply chain at the supermarket level, the impact so far is minimal. At La Unica supermarket in East Charlotte, prices have stayed stable or even dropped.
No nos ha llevado a subir precios.
The tariffs haven't led us to raise prices nor make any changes directly at La Unica supermarket.
That's Diego Jimenez. He's worked at La Unica supermarket for 2 years.
Nosotros como La Unica supermarket.
We at La Unica supermarket have maintained our prices. We even try to offer customers discounts to lower them, to give them those great prices.
Still, Jimenez says some shoppers are worried.
Siempre somos esa voz de calma.
We are that voice of calm that tells them to be relaxed and, of course, continue to enjoy products that come directly from their lands.
Compare Foods operates 8 stores across Charlotte. In a statement, CEO Omar Jorge says Compare Foods isn't currently facing much impact because most of its imported goods are from Mexico. They're exempt under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Still, Jorge says there have been small increases on certain items, like seafood, olive oil, and bananas. For now, distributors and grocery stores are juggling to keep prices low, meet demand for beloved foods, and prepare for what could come next. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
The price of seafood is expected to increase significantly because of President Trump's tariffs, and because about 85% of this country's seafood is imported. For example, much of the shrimp sold in the United States comes from India and Vietnam, which were hit with 26% and 46% tariffs, respectively. Fresh seafood market owners in Charlotte are watching seafood prices from overseas suppliers closely, as Gwendolyn Glenn reports.
Welcome to West End. How you doing?
Bernetta Powell has owned and operated the West End Fresh Seafood Market on Beatty's Fort Road since 1998.
We went through a rocky path right before the pandemic, where we almost closed. It was rough, but then we had some resources to hit. We got a grant from the city, which was a survival grant, one from LIS survival grant, and that helped with things like utilities and things like that.
Business has been brisk at the market, which also offers various kinds of fried, grilled, and steamed fish plates. But Powell says she is concerned that Trump's tariffs will send suppliers' prices soaring.
So far, prices have risen on me anywhere from 55 to 75 cents per pound on flounder so far and red snapper. I can see price doubling, and that would be a cost I would be passing on. I don't know if our customers can handle that, because if it gets too high, they won't buy.
Powell says her biggest sellers are fried croaker and whiting, which she gets mainly from suppliers in Wilmington and the Chesapeake Bay. Her salmon and red snapper come from overseas, but she expects the biggest increases will be on
frozen products, because a lot of shrimp comes from China, Japan, Canada. Season better come up again for fresh real soon. We can get that locally fresh. But we have to deal with frozen shrimp, crab legs, lobster, tilapia. A lot of that is coming from everywhere else.
I went fishing with my grandmother all my years, probably until I was 17 years old.
That's Wayne Bryant. He owned a fresh seafood market and carryout restaurant in North Charlotte for several years. He closed it a few months ago after several break-ins, but he's planning to reopen soon. Bryant says he has a van that he uses to buy fresh fish from boaters in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, and Wilmington, but he gets shark and swordfish from suppliers who fish in Mexican waters and other fish from other overseas suppliers. Bryant says he's concerned about the prices he's seeing for those imports, especially crab legs.
Crab legs are a main source that's imported into the state. The way the prices are going up right now, as the vendor, you'd be at $26 a pound giving it to the customer to say, can you make a profit? So that's going to be part of those tariffs coming in. Brazinis, they come from up north. Canada area, those tariffs to ship that fish down is going to be rough.
Bryant and Powell are trying to be optimistic, even as much higher prices for seafood are pretty much a given as the trade wars play out.
Just hold on, see what happens. That's all we can do.
I can't be thinking like it's doomsday. We got to think positive, and I'm thinking we're going to pull through.
Gwendolyn Glenn, WFAE News.
With all of the turmoil in the world today, a lot of people are turning to music for comfort. One of Charlotte's up-and-coming bands has released a debut album that supplies some reassurance, alongside dreamy vocals and a kind of soothing but head-bopping sound. Nick Della Canal has their story.
All right, folks, welcome back. They've been hard at work putting together a new record, some new recordings for you. Let's have a great big round of applause and welcome to the stage, Cassetticut.
People stand shoulder to shoulder in the dark as members of Cassetticut take the stage on a Friday night at the Evening Muse in Noda. There's a drummer, a keyboard, and three guitars. Dressed in jeans and a striped shirt, the band's lead singer and guitarist, Connor Hausman, leans into the microphone on his tiptoes. His floppy hair is just long enough to get in his eyes.
All the plans you try to create all seem to disintegrate.
Born in Terre Haute, Indiana, Hausman is anything but a mild-mannered Midwesterner. Actually, he's an indisputable goof. When people hold up phones for pictures, he bugs his eyes and wiggles his brows. In between songs, he tells funny bits.
You remember like how weird it was in COVID when everybody was just like isolated? Like I was single and I was like isolated from everyone, and I went on a date, like 2 dates, and I was like, I'm in love with this girl. I was like, it's the only girl I've seen in like a year.
Even the name of the band, Cassetticut, is a funny story. In Hausman's telling, it comes from the band's original bass player, Hyatt Morrell.
He had a cat named Cassette, and it was like the nicest cat. And we had a few drinks at his house. We were cooking dinner, and I said something like, Cassette has great etiquette. And he was like, Cassetticut, that'd be a great band name. And I was like, well, that's our band name.
There it is.
That second voice is Emma Fries, who plays the keyboard and sings backup. A Charlotte native, she joined the band a few months before their first gig in October 2023. She was drawn in by Hausman's writing.
I remember the first time I heard his songs, it made me feel something. And so I just hope that, like, when we play these songs for the audiences, that they would feel something too.
Five of those songs are on the band's debut album titled Disintegrate. Sonically, it's like diving into a warm bath of sound and texture. Hausman says he draws influence from alt-rockers like Band of Horses, The Strokes, and Death Cab for Cutie. He was also lucky to have an alt-rocker for a dad.
He played in different bands through my whole childhood, so I kind of grew up going to little dive bars and listening to him play, and he was definitely in the alt-rock genre in the 90s.
Hausman's onstage silliness belies more serious, reflective lyrics with themes of acceptance and letting go, like on the track Two Stars.
Maybe we're just two stars passing each other in the dark. We may float our separate ways, hope to find you someday.
Another track, titled Just a Dream, draws inspiration from a note by Hausman's grandmother. He says their relationship was sometimes strained. He discovered the note with his name written on it after her death.
She had written, "The past is just a memory and the future is just a dream." And I was like, that's pretty cool. So that's the chorus of that song. So we kind of, in a weird way, kind of wrote it together.
Thoughts on the passage of time weave through this track and others. Unlike a cassette tape, you can't hit rewind or fast forward on life, so it's better to make peace and let the tape roll. Cassetticut's debut album, Disintegrate, is out on most streaming platforms. Nick Delacanel, WFAE News.
And for Friday, April 25th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.